Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, you know, He is faithful. He's faithful and just. He said He'd never leave us. He said whatever we ask the Father in His name, He would do. Now, it has to be according to the will of God. You know, I've told you before, you know, some of you have heard the story or not, but there was a pastor that was preaching that about our prayer life. He later found out this woman had been putting unspoken prayer requests in, and the unspoken prayer request was his wife would die so that she could marry him. Just FYI, I don't pray for unspokens. Not happening. But it has to be according to the will of God. It wasn't the will of God that his wife would die so that she could marry him. I don't know what people get to thinking. God's not stupid. Amen. Well, just a reminder, today is War on the Floor. So make sure you get our usher the prayer requests if you got them with you right now. I got a message today. I think this might actually finalize I Am. But I want you to know we're taking a stand. Because if you're paying attention, I know a lot of you are on Facebook, some of you are not, but you're paying attention to what's happening in the child abduction, the sex trade, the slavery, and all this, the human trafficking. They're finding kids. They found a whole group. They have found 39 one week. They found 25 here in Ohio. And you know what? And God has led me to start preaching on that coming up. It's because we prayed. We began praying. And you know what? The one thing you can't get back once it goes out? A bullet, you shoot a bullet, you can go find that bullet. Okay? You shoot an arrow, you can go find that arrow. But you speak those words, and they keep going. And when God is in agreement with those words, they don't stop. So remember that. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your strength. And now, Lord God, we bless this tithe and offering. I bless it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. I receive it on your behalf. And now, Father, before I forget, we lift up our sister Nancy to you. We pray that you touch her body, heal her right now in Jesus' name. Restore her energy and her strength in the name of Jesus. And we bless this tithe and offering in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. Well, I've had the opportunity this week to, I got access to some videos of a man who God had started giving dreams back in December of things happening, and he started sharing those dreams. Some people have written him off, and I'm like, well, I know with based on what the Holy Spirit is quickening in me, there's more to come, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying war. I'm saying there's more. There's more stuff to come because the devil is not going to go down without a fight. And I'm just going to tell you right now, we have got to know, first off, who our commander-in-chief is. We got to know who the King of Kings is because the enemy wants nothing more than to overthrow the body of Christ. If you think that this thing is anything, that worldly people will act worldly. They want to be worldly. They don't want anything to do with God. Right now there's a group that's trying to get Franklin Graham removed from his own ministry. They call themselves Christians because he dares to pray for the president. But nobody brought Rick, it's not Renner. He wrote a bunch of books. Joyner. Wasn't Rick Joyner? Oh, well, anyhow. But when he prayed for Obama, nobody asked for his resignation. The truth of the matter is this is about the body of Christ. This is about abortion. I want to see abortion eradicated in this country. and in this world. That's what this is about. We'd like to say what we want about all the other presidents. When you find out that the sitting president's wife supports abortion, that makes me sick. Because you know a wife has influence on her husband. And don't think you don't, ladies. But I'm saying there is more stuff to come, and it's to stop us from praying. We need to rise up at home, here, wherever we're at, and we need to be praying. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We need to know what is our next step. We need to be brave. God kept telling Joshua over and over, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. I'd like to say that this never happened. This is all a bad dream. We're going to wake up from it. We're over 6 months into this thing. So it's not a bad dream. So just know that. Got to wait. That's why it's going to be nice to get a camera back here that's hardwired into a computer and not relying on a signal that's coming through two layers of metal. Are we live again? All right. Sorry about that, Nancy and Melissa and Cindy, Shenandoah. But anyhow, so I'm going to finish up in the realm that God, I believe, has instructed me to preach on about I am. And we're going to pray today, and we're going to remember who I am is and why it is we pray, why we can stand. Listen, if anybody thinks that garbage only comes to your neighbor, you're sadly mistaken. Garbage comes to everyone. You got to deal with it. But if you know who your great I am is, the stand is so much easier. Amen? All right, so let's turn in our Bibles this morning to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to go to verse 53. These are the Jews that were standing around, particularly the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be?" I'm going to point out something right real quick for you. This is what the religious type want to say about us. Who do you think you are? Joe, who do you think you are that you think you are the righteousness of Christ now? How dare you? I know you. I didn't, but... No, nobody can say that about another person. But yet the Jews were telling this to the Messiah. The religious people. So many times Jesus confronted them. You got to look at who he's talking to. The people that rejected a relationship with I am and chose rather to call him by the name of Jehovah or Yehovah, if you want to speak Jewish, which means the self-existent one. I am. I mean, let's stop and think about what I am encompasses. I am. I'm everything. I'm it. I'm the end all. I'm the beginning. I am everything. But they didn't know him as that. Moses knew him as that. Abraham knew him as that. Jacob knew him as that. Isaac knew him as that. But these people, they knew him. And then later on when they'd call him, they would take out, I think it's called a tetra. So it's not a tetragram. It's got a longer name. But they take out all the vowels. Okay? Because they were superstitious to say the name of God. They didn't want to take it in vain. Well, they were never going to take that in vain. His name's I Am. Not Jehovah, not Yahweh, not Adonai. Those are just Hebrew words to describe who he is. He said, my name's I Am. You know, some people know me as Art. There's a few that have come through here that knew me as Arthur. A few that knew me as Woody. A few that know me as Dad, as husband, as grandpa, as brother, as uncle, as cousin, and son. And I answer to those. But my name is Art. That's who I introduce myself as. And God introduced himself as I am. So let's carry on. Get my Bible open back up. Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Okay, now can you feel the religious, the religious blood pressure going up? My Father, who is your God, who you say is your God, yet you have not known him, but I know him. Again, why did they not know him? Because they didn't know who I am is. They chose rather to know rules and regulations. Boom, boom, boom. It's why Jesus said there are two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do all of them, those two right there, they fulfill the law and the prophets. There's no other commandment you need. You're not going to cheat on your spouse because you love your spouse. You're not going to lie to your neighbor. You're not going to kill your neighbor. You're not going to steal from your neighbor. Those things are automatic in love. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar. Oh, wait for the religious, like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, if you follow on verse 59, they picked up rocks and they were getting ready to stone him. There was not going to be any trial, no anything else. They were going to stone him, and they had the right by their law because he said that last little word, two words, I am. However, the word, I've got that underlined in my Bible, but it said he just passed through them. How did Jesus do that? It's not the first time he did it. There was a crowd about to push him off of a cliff, and he just walked right through them. He just walked right through them. Did they part? Did they know what they were doing? I don't know, but I want to know that trick. That way the next time my mouth gets me in more trouble than my butt can back up, I can just walk right through it and get out of it. He said, I am. Note, he said, Abraham was, but I am. Before Abraham. What was before Abraham? Because if you realize, if you get in your Bible and you actually start doing studying the timeline, you'll realize how close Abraham was in conjunction with Noah. Noah was still alive. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they were all still alive when Abraham was born. We don't think about that. We think in big, just boot, like books. Well, it's a whole different book, but it wasn't. They were right there in the same mix. So John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Note in your Bible and up there that the word Word is capitalized, meaning that it is pointing out a deity, a proper name. Jesus is the Word. He was in the beginning with God. Now jump to verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word, is, period. That's why when he returns, the book of Revelation says he will be riding on a horse, and there will be a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, which is the Word of God. The Bible even refers, or Paul called the Bible the Word. He called it a sword. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why I love watching that program, Forged in Fire. And watch what they cut. Those guys, I mean, quickly build up a weapon. And then those guys take and do things that should not be done to a weapon like that. And yet these things can still cut cleanly through silk or ropes or whatever they're trying to go after. It's just amazing to me. And the Word of God is sharper than that because it cuts through. Remember, the Word does not return void. It goes out and it comes back. That's why we pray according to the will of God. That's why today we're going to pray according to the will of God in all these things. But there's places we can take a stand. We have to know, is it God's will to heal? Absolutely. I'm not getting bent out of shape on timing or how. Is it God's will to deliver? Absolutely. Sometimes God just has to smack people around a couple times and say, hey, wake up. He did me. So we have to realize that sometimes our idea on how it's going to happen isn't the way it happens, is it? Me personally, I would have just assumed if God was going to tell me to take and start a church, that he would have told me when I was a teenager, that way I could have been studying and learning all this stuff. I didn't. I joined the Marines. I came back. I served in my church in every possible area. You do need to understand that. I cleaned the toilets. I wiped the butts. I took care of the kids. I helped my wife. I ran the sound. I ran a light. I did anything and everything that I could. And then one day, God said, the door is closed on this church. You're taking you're picking up the ball that was dropped. Okay. And I've trusted God ever since on this. We'll get into that in a second. So Jesus was saying, I was even before Abraham. Why? Because he was there when the earth was created. And I'm talking, I believe that Genesis records a restoration. Because if you read the Bible and the way those Hebrew words are, it's talking about something that already was. The earth was already here when Genesis starts off. It was just covered in water. He said God called the earth out of the water. Well, that's not exactly how you'd think God would make earth, now is it? Not when he took the time for the only creation that was never existed to take the time to form him. Animals are just as phenomenal as we are. You've got chameleons that can adapt to their color and can adapt to where their surroundings are. Squid and octopuses. Octopi? I don't know. they can change colors and they can... I mean, you take this gigantic octopus and he could squeeze into a little milk bottle. How? How does he do that? How can an emperor penguin swim deeper than a blue whale? They do. They swim deeper than we can go down. And they don't have apparatuses on their heads and all this stuff and special suits and hoses. They just take one deep breath and go, whoop. I'm not for certain what's down there or even how they see, because they can go below where there's light. Don't know. But Jesus was there. Jesus was the word that was executed and came out and brought life and brought creation. It brought light. There's a study that's been done years ago, and I actually probably need to just find that. And it was somebody, I don't even know who it was talking about this. They were teaching on this and how the earth was created and then how it was actually a song. And I've heard preachers come out against that because, I don't believe that. Then why do the Jews sing the Torah? They sing it. When Jesus stood up in church that day and he picked up the book of Isaiah, he sang it. They did not stand up and preach it like we do. They'd have somebody stand up and he would read the word as a song. Why is the biggest Bible, or the biggest book in the Bible, basically a book of songs? Why? Because songs also require mathematics. And there was a genius, I saw him, and he's a certified genius, not one of those, he's internet geniuses. Y'all take that test. I'm a genius! Now listen here, Einstein. If you're such a genius. But anyhow, he said, and he didn't even believe in God, but he said, I can prove the existence of God with mathematics. He was a bouncer at a bar. I think I saw him later, and I think he did come to the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. But he said, I can prove it with mathematics. Songs require, it's actually mathematics, it's all timing. There's highs, there's lows, it's all there. Science. It's got a lot of mathematics in it. We talked about water the other day. If you have H3O, it ain't water. So, all of that is off subject. But it's interesting that Jesus said, I was there. I am there, not was. That's hard for me to start. I mean, it's hard to get hold of that. He never said, I was before Abraham. He said, I am. In other words, I've been existent the whole time. I am there. Now, Romans 4:3. Whoops. I highlighted the wrong book. Thank goodness Romans is right after Acts. 4, verse 3. I could read it off of there, I guess. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was sanctified simply by believing. Not by works, because if it had been by works, Abraham could boast of his works, couldn't he? But he believed God in his heart. He trusted God. You need to understand how difficult it really is. I mean, let's take today. You're part of a close-knit family, and God comes down and says, I want you to leave your family and leave your land that you own free and clear, and I'm going to take you on a trip. And I'm going to let you claim everywhere your feet stand. Every place your feet touch will be yours. You need to understand how far Abraham really went. The Bible says from the Euphrates to the Nile is where he was. What does Israel have put in possession right now? Teeny tiny little piece about the size of New Jersey. And yet they should have a chunk that belongs to Jordan is in violation. Iraq is in violation. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, they're all in violation of God's ordinance. Don't think judgment won't come. But now, it was accounted to him as faith because he just simply believed God. There's no miraculous cure to believing God. You either do or you don't. You have to settle. That's why the Bible tells us that a man who is too double-minded, I believe God, I don't believe, I don't know where I stand on this. You'd better find a place and stand. At least if you don't believe God, God can convince you. He can convince you. I can't. He will convince you. And I want you to understand, when God has to convince you, I'd just as soon follow Abraham's steps and say, okay, I'll believe you. Because when God has to get involved to convince you to trust him, it's a Gideon moment. Gideon had 20,000 people ready to fight. But he didn't believe God in the beginning. Well, if you really did say this, I'm going to leave this fleece out. You let the fleece be wet and the ground around be dry. Well, if you really did say this, I'm going to leave his fleece out again. You make the ground wet and the fleece dry. Remember what God did to him? Three times he had to drop. Got down to 300 men against 20,000. We're talking 300 farmers and carpenters and teachers, not 300 trained warriors. We're talking about people who just had a fire. And Gideon finally trusted God, and God gave him the victory. But if he had gone in with those 20,000 men, he'd have said, look what I did. I mean, we know what Israel already did. Right after it, they took his ephod, Gideon's ephod, and they began worshiping it. It was now a sacred. Why? Why do we do this? Yeah, I won't. I want Brother Robert's anointing. I want Brother Billy Graham's heart. How about you ask Jesus for his heart? He died for the sinner. Billy Graham didn't. I love Billy. I praise God that he's rejoicing with Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, he didn't die for mankind. So I don't want his anointing. I want God. I want to know what God. I don't care that Elisha said, I want a double anointing of what you had. I think Elijah only operated a little bit of what God had to begin with. And say, okay, so he had this much and this much, but yeah, here's God's amount. Elisha could have done even more. But we begin to worship people instead of looking to the great I am to be my source of provision. God gave us each other for support. He said in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. And it wasn't just a husband and wife. It was alone as believers. It's hard to stand when you're the only one. Now, Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change. In the beginning, he is I am. When he walked the earth, he is I am. Today, he is I am. We serve Jesus Christ. He became the sacrifice. He became our justification. All we have to do is simply believe. You know, Jesus even said himself, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? Is he truly going to find people who believe? Well, I believe in the 10-step method right here, brother. I got it from brother so-and-so, and he said, if I do this, I can never go wrong. You believe in witchcraft, brother. There is no 10-step method to faith. It's you either believe or you don't. It's black and white. It's that simple. Faith is really very simple. It's not easy. It's like running. It's simple, but it's not easy. You know, I can relate with Eli's quandary back there on the running. I just wanted to get a little bit, just a little bit more. I even called my uncle, who was a high school and college track coach. He'd sent teams to Olympic tryouts. And I said, how can I get faster on my 3-mile time? I want to get faster. I want to get faster. He told me. And I started doing it. And you can ask Angela. I said, you've heard me. I really did hate to run, but I did it a lot for somebody that hated it. And I found that I could actually run, but there was something else in me. I didn't care. I honestly did have a bad attitude. I didn't care. It was all there was to it. So when we pray, we have to believe that God is moving forward. You cannot sit and worry about it. That's why Jesus, again, why Paul said, let no man think who is double-minded on anything, think he's going to receive anything. He won't. That's all there is to it. If you're believing for the salvation of your children, you had better stand for the salvation of your children. If you're believing for healing, you had better believe, no matter what or how long it takes. There are some people who went around and in my opinion, they misspoke. They started teaching you doctors were evil. No, Jesus never taught that. As a matter of fact, even when he healed people, he said, go back and get approval. You need to go back and do what has to be done to be accepted back in. But yet, today, I've heard it. You know, it's not faith if you go to the doctor. No, there's a lot of dead people because of that. And I'm not trying to be crass or anything about it. It's just the truth of the matter. They died without needing to. Yes, we can take communion. We can stand on the blood of Jesus and the covenant of what he did. there's a time to go to the doctor. There's a time you got to go. God gave us doctors and nurses. They're good people. So the Bible says, pray for the sick, and they shall recover. And I can't remember who it was who pointed this out years ago. He said, it says they shall recover. Recover means there's a time. It may not happen instantly. I have seen people healed instantly. And I've seen other people that it took a little bit of time. What made the difference? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and overanalyze something that doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is, God showed up. Well, God, I need this in my life. I need more provision. What, so you can go spend it on stupid things? Oh, no, Jesus, you know I'm going to support more missionaries. I'm going to do this with that money, and I'm going to do that. Uh-huh. Right you are. Y'all have heard me talk over the years about fantasizing about winning the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Or what happens if I were to play the Powerball and win that $300 million. What I would do with it. Yeah, anybody else ever thought of that? Oh, come on, y'all have. Because you've all got the old tickets in your car underneath the seat. But let me ask you this. Was tithing the first thing on your list? It's hard to give up 10%. That's $30 million. I won't have $300 million. Oh, you ain't going to have $300 million after the government gets hold of you anyhow. They're taking 50 to 60% right off the bat. You're down to $150 million. Oh, how are you going to survive? I don't know how you're ever going to survive $150 million. I could supply for my children, my family, all the way down to Carter's grandkids, living moderate lifestyles. Easily. I remember Garth Brooks saying one time, he was still on tour the first time he was big. And he said, I have more money than my grandchildren's grandchildren can spend. Think about it. But we think, well, I got to have this. I got to look the part, you know. Personally, I'd just as soon go around helping people without them ever knowing. We have to trust God. I remember praying and praying and praying and asking God, Lord, I want a Mustang. Why can't I get a Mustang? Why does the door always close on me getting a Mustang? I got a Mustang, but I was 30, was I about 35? 35. I had wanted one since I was 12. Well, at 23, I test drove a 5.0. A friend of mine was going to sell it to me. He owned a car dealership. Said, I just need to make $500, Art, just to cover my expenses. Said, all right. I took it out. I drove that car. Picked her up for lunch. We drove around. I came back. It had a 302 in it, 5-speed, hatchback. Bright red, wasn't a GT, cold air conditioning, leather seats. I walked in, I said, here's the keys, Mike. I said, if I buy that car, I won't have a driver's license. Because I'd already raced a 79 Grand Prix on the way back to the dealership. You know why God didn't let me have a Mustang then? I was too immature. It wasn't that the car, anything wrong with the car, it was me. It was all me. Then when I did get a Mustang, God gave me a 6-cylinder. But I drove it like it was an 8. And then I grew up a little bit and realized, this is not a good family car. Joshua was still in a seat, or he just got out of the seat, and then we got Jesse, and it's like, they don't fit. They just don't fit in the back seat. So I don't know how, when I took those guys to work at work one day, took them to lunch, there's this much floorboard behind the front seat. How those three guys fit back there? No idea. But It was me. It wasn't God. It wasn't the car. I had to grow up. My priorities have changed now on things. The things I thought were a high priority, they weren't. I told Joshua the other day, I said, man, you ought to see this old truck I found. I said, or this old car. I mean, I said, this is sweet, but you know what? I've come to the conclusion I'd rather do some other things here for the family than spend money on something that only I'm getting enjoyment out of. I guess I'm growing up. I tried not to. I'm sorry. I tried not to grow up, but it happened. So let's remember, when we're praying today, He is the great I Am. He's already in this situation. You need to remember the words you're speaking about that situation. Again, I'm going to start preaching on this again. Because we're in a situation in this country where we had better start speaking the word of God into existence, into these situations. Yes, it's going to be at the forefront of just about every conversation we have with anybody. But the truth of the matter is, we had better bring God into the situation and leave our feelings and emotions back here. What does God have to say about this? There are certain things. Do I see dangers in things? Oh, absolutely. I see a lot of dangers. But I've been seeing them for a long time. The country didn't care that the president defiled the Oval Office or lied under oath. That's sitting president. Bring in the current president. Well, you know what this man was like? I didn't hire this man because of what his past was. I hired him because he knows how to run a business, and government is a business. Yes, I just showed my hand. But I'm not telling you who to vote for. Won't do that. Oh, by the way, I will say this. How many of you got your mail-in ballots? Everybody, because you don't have to vote. As far as I know, they're still planning on in-person voting, okay? However, in the event, I'm preparing for every scenario that you do have to vote by mail-in. Do not mail it in. Take it personally and put it in their box. If you're in Morrow County, the box is right on the side of the garage across from the annex building. It's right there. It's about yay by yay. Put it in that box. Do not trust the postal service. They didn't pick up his mail for 3 days. His ballot didn't get counted. Don't know why. All I know is, do not let somebody else deliver it. As that meme's going around on Facebook, if you trust the postal service, put $500 in an envelope, $500 cash, and mail it to yourself. See when you get it. Okay? I'm saying, you take it down, you march it right in. If you're a Morrow County resident, I don't know where Crawford's is. It's probably I think Bucyrus is the county seat. It's over there somewhere, more than likely. Walnut Street? Okay. But here, it's up at the annex. Go up to the annex and drop it right in that box and make sure your vote counts. That is one thing that I've been adamant on since the day I graduated high school. I got to vote. My first election was a presidential election, and that was such an awesome feeling that I got to vote. And I made sure if it was a presidential election while I was deployed or gone, I made sure I voted. So you need to make sure you're out voting. If you're not registered, I think there's still time, get registered. I don't think there's anybody in here who's not, because I've been harping on it for 20 years. So we're going to pray. We've got some prayer requests. Is there anybody else that has a prayer request that I don't have? Okay, we got a couple right here. Okay. Okay. We got some prayer for a lot of healing. See, the devil's taking the opportunity to attack people. He's hitting everybody. As I looked across here, it's pretty much across the board. So just know that. But then for those that aren't, they're recognizing what's going on in their friends and their family. So just take that in Kate in the thing. We're missing one teacher. Okay, we're going to pray for the teachers and the students as well. So, you know, I'm not going to bring anybody up here and lay hands on them, so don't. But we're going to pray for them as well. Like I said, you know my beliefs. But I'm not here to offend anybody, and I also know that the words that I speak are powered by the word of God. And God goes forth. I don't have to lay hands on people. You don't need to have my shadow pass over you. You don't need a prayer cloth. All you need is the word spoken over the situation. Amen. Amen. So let's go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come with our requests, with the burdens of our brothers and our sisters. And Lord, right now we thank you for bringing Richard through his surgery. Lord, we pray right now for continued comfort, for speedy recovery in this surgery in the name of Jesus, Lord, that he will not have to wait out as long as they're saying, but also, Father, that you will work this out, Father, for his